Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, what an honor to be here and to be in your presence, to sense your power, Holy Spirit. Fill us now, and lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I took a little bit of a left turn here. I don't want to totally leave Psalm 119. However, after watching the both conventions about 10 seconds each, I concluded we need a revival. And I concluded we need to pray. And we got 70 days from next Tuesday, 10 weeks before the election. So I'm going to go off on a revival tangent for about 10 weeks here. And if any of you want to come early in the morning here at 5:30 to 6:30 to pray, I could do it on Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, those 3 days, if anybody's interested. And think about it, and at the end, let me know whether or not to do that. I can't do it on Sunday, Tuesday, or Friday and Saturday we're here. So at any rate, let's open with Revive Us Again. We'll just sing this revival hymn. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. So I think you're familiar with this one. So let's sing it.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Revive us
to that, huh? Revival. Of course, most revivals we think of the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out, and when at another time we'll go through the history of some of the revivals. But considering the conditions that we're in right now, you know, number one, or I don't know about this order, but we're in the end times, right? And we're seeing it all around. But we're seeing the godlessness, we're seeing the outright blasphemy against God at an increasing level. We're seeing the level of awareness of the gospel much less than it was a few years ago, it seems. And we're seeing a disappearance of truth as established by Scripture. The world is not accepting that. The world at best accepts Christ as some kind of a teacher, if that. Probably just a myth. The church has a different job today than it's had years ago. Now, I am really drawn to the Puritan preachers. I'm drawn to the Spurgeons. I'm drawn to some of the old guys who could almost scold you back into where you needed to be because of your base. That doesn't work today. People won't respond to those methods that were used in the past today because they don't have anything to revive, right? There's dead there. There's no life there. And they don't have a base to go to. It's all new to them. And they don't accept it. So we look at this story in the Gospels, in the Mark account of Jesus when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And, of course, Peter wanted to stay up there. You know, mountaintop experiences are really nice, aren't they? Let's just stay here. Why go into that ugly, bad world with all of its problems, you know. I've got my salvation. I'll just pull in the tent and enjoy it. But God doesn't have you here, doesn't have me here for that reason. We're to get out and mix it with the world. You got the good news? It needs to go out. And so here in this story, they come down from the mountaintop, and there's this commotion, and here are the nine disciples which were left behind. And what they've been trying to do is exorcise a demon-possessed young man, and they've been unable to do it. And I think they were probably shocked because in the past they had been able to drive out the demons. Luke 10, you know, they came back from that missions trip. They were all excited that, oh, they had driven out the demons and all of this and healed the sick and all. And what did Jesus say? Well, just thank the Lord that your name is written in the book of life and forget all your victory stories in a way. But here it's not working. They're trying the same thing and it's not working. So Jesus comes down and, of course, with a word heals this young man. And so then they said, why could we not cast it out? In verse 28, Jesus says to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Now, I think we can relate that story to today. I think we can relate the boy to the world who's a mess, falling into the fire and all messed up. He's demon-possessed, right? Who's following Satan? The whole world of unbelievers, right? And I think the boy, we could relate to the world, and I think we could relate the disciples to the church. Now, when I use the word church, I'm not talking only about 3800 South Fairview. I'm talking about the whole church. What is the whole church? Every believer, past, present, future, is in the church, or going to be in the church. Those who haven't accepted Christ yet are not in the church, but those who will believe, most of them are already in heaven. So the church, most of it's in heaven already, right? Because most Christians have died, I would think, over the course of 2,000 years compared to the one generation we're in. So I think we can look at this and think we can really relate to the disciples. They are trying what they have been done. They're trying very hard to do what successfully worked in the past. Doesn't work. So they probably jumped right into it. Oh, demon possession. Man, we can handle that one. I got my degree in demon possession and my experience. Bloom into it. They didn't really pray, I don't think. And they probably were not even thinking about the Lord. They were probably pouting the whole time the other nine guys were up on the mountain. Why didn't he take me? He took them, and, you know. So they were probably spiritually weaker, I would imagine. That's my theory, or guess. At any rate, they don't have enough power to overcome the problem. I don't think the church today, in using the old methods and stuff, has enough power to overcome the problems. We got so much activity. You know, oh, we need another new Bible translation. If we can just put the gospel message into the slang of people, they'll understand it and they'll accept Christ. Does that work? No, it doesn't work. Publicity. Let's advertise the church so people will come. Does that work? No, it doesn't work. All of the world methods are not going to work. And even the methods of the old church aren't working because of the change in the problem. Devils have different degrees of strength, I think is what Jesus is saying here when he says, this kind. He says, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. So the problems the church has today, I think, are this kind. This kind of problem in these end times, this kind of problem in the world, which has turned away pretty much from the Lord, even further than they were in the past. And we need more power, right? We need more power because we got a bigger problem. And so that's where revival comes in, I think. So then when he asks them, or when they ask him, why couldn't we cast it out? He says, this kind can come out by nothing. So he's saying there, think through the problem that you have as a Christian. Why are you here today? How is your position in Christ relatable to the outside dying world? How is your position in Christ just in this nation alone relate to what's going on? I mean, when I see the lawlessness and the killings and all of that, That is kind of a new height for this nation, isn't it? We've never had that to that level of, that I know of. And so we've got a bigger problem now than we had. And I think we've got an election coming up. I'm not talking about party in one way. And the other way I am, when you have one group totally against the Bible and the other group partially supporting the Bible, where do you go? You go with the ones that are supporting the Bible. You don't go to the ones that are hating the Bible. So I think we really need to pray in this next 10 weeks for this election, among other things. And Jesus then says, what can be victorious here? He says, nothing but prayer and fasting. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, I think another way to define that prayer and fasting is concentrated prayer, giving it your undivided attention, waiting on God until he fills you with the power of the Spirit. I think that's what we're talking about here. Now, you can go on a body fast, you can give up meat and all that other stuff, but I don't think that's really necessarily what he's talking about here. I think about he's talking about more power. We need more power to overcome a greater enemy, right? And so we're a church, right? And every member in the church, every believer is a member in the church, an important member. But how many members of the church, take this little body group right here, 3,800 or anywhere else, how many come to prayer meetings? Well, we got about 10 this morning, 15 maybe. That's great. But we don't have hundreds, right? And we never will. So who's going to pray? I'll tell you, this group right here is one of two or three groups that are on the campus that will pray. You're here every morning, every Saturday morning. But we need to really pray with power, right? And we need to be thinking about what we're praying about. Now, praying about Aunt Matilda and her cancer is okay. And your dog, oh, my dog needs surgery, that's okay. But that's not the purpose of this prayer meeting. The purpose of this prayer meeting, I would like to say, is going to be for the next 10 weeks at any rate for revival. For revival in the church, for revival of the gospel, for revival of God being honored. We've got such dishonor to God in our whole life, don't we, in our society? And so I think we got to get serious about this. And we don't have the power without being empowered by the Spirit to make much of a difference. Prayer is just going to kind of bounce off the walls, off the ceiling. So I think we need to plead. I think we need to just daily be on our knees asking for this power of the Holy Spirit to enable us as a little tiny member of this universal church to make a difference. And you think God will honor that? I know he'll honor that. So let's go to prayer this morning and just honor him. And let's do ask for empowerment by the Spirit as we pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your power, Holy Spirit, that you make available to those who call on you. And so fill us now with your power. And help us to pray aright. Help us to pray empowered as you would lead us. Thank you for each one here and how precious they are. And how what a source of power each represents because of being yours and what you have done for us. And what you want to do through each of us if we are available and willing and empowered. So enable us now in Jesus' name.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. whatever may pass and whatever lies before me. Let me be singing when the evening comes. Yes, the Lord.
Father, we do worship your holy name. Thank you for your word, which you esteem even above your name. So, Lord, fill each brother and sister here to overflowing with your spirit, Lord. And through that power, may there just be that committed service to you, however you want to use us, if at all, Lord, just for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as I announced earlier, when we started, we got 7 times 10. We had 73 days, I think, till election, or at least 10 weeks, right? So let's start meeting out here 5:30 every morning. I can be here. I can't be here Tuesday and Friday. If somebody else wants to do it, then fine. If not, that's fine. But Monday I'll be here at 5:30, and we'll go. Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, if that'll work for you. If you can come. But we do want to pray for, this is a special time, I think. The church needs to stand up. We're the church.
That's right.
Every believer is a member of the church. And and we've got things to pray for this nation in kind of a special way, it seems to me. But may we honor him. Okay, thank you so much for being here.